Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today at the Almirall's first half 2012 results conference and webcast. Joining us today, we have Eduardo Sánchez, Chief Executive Officer, Daniel Martínez, Chief Financial Officer, Bertil Lindmark, Chief Scientific Officer, and Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer. The event will start with a presentation that will be followed by a Q&A session. I now hand over to the CEO, Eduardo Sánchez, for the opening remarks.
Thanks a lot, Jordi, and good morning, everyone. I would like to start this session by summarizing for you some highlights from the first half of this year. First of all, I need to start by sharing our enthusiasm for the recent approvals by both the U.S. and the European regulatory authorities for aclidinium bromide. These are indeed great news that allow us to move into a different stage. We are pleased and proud of how the regulatory process has worked on both sides of the Atlantic, and the outcome speaks highly of the work being done and of the strength of the information presented to the authorities. In parallel to the regulatory process, a substantial amount of work is taking place to prepare ourselves for the new launches. This also affects our industrial readiness, so all our sites have been successfully inspected and are ready to supply. We have already established commercial partnerships that can provide a competitive position for our product in 80% of the global COPD market. Along the same lines, we are reinforcing our commercial and market access organizations. We are ready for the great opportunity that aclidinium bromide represents for Almirall. Moving to our next important contributor to future revenues, that is COSTELLA, and that is our brand name for linaclotide. I'm also pleased to share that the regulatory process is advancing as planned, and that we look forward to receiving CHMP feedback before the end of this year. In the first part of 2012, we have also announced the positive outcome of a new regulatory wave with Sativex in 10 new European countries, and launch activities in other EU territories are on track. Lastly, we have announced the co-promotion in Spain with Bayer for Xarelto, adding another product to our portfolio in this country. This will be, by the way, the fifth addition in Spain of a new product over the last 2 years. Overall, we have launched seven new products in our company over the same two-year period, helping to mitigate some recent patent expirations and government measures in Spain. Year to date, our sales outside our home market already represent 57% of total sales, and we expect that in 3 to 4 years, international sales will constitute about 70% of total. Financial performance in the first half of this year has been affected by three elements: the downside in the Spanish market, expenses related to the preparation of the new launches, and R&D expenses associated particularly with the phase 3 of the first aclidinium combination. Yet, we maintain the guidance that we gave for the whole year. Let me now hand over to Daniel, our CFO, to go through the details of our numbers.
Thank you, Eduardo, and good morning, everyone. Before jumping in the quarterly results, let me make a quick comment on the scrip dividend. During June, Almirall has successfully completed the scrip dividend approved in May at the annual general meeting. It has been a solid success, as 96% of our shareholders have chosen new shares versus only 4% a dividend in cash. This vast majority of preference for new shares reflects, in our view, and apart from fiscal considerations, the endorsement to our strategy and positive prospects of the share price evolution going forward. This has also allowed Almirall to keep nearly 28 million euros to further strengthen our balance sheet. Despite the solid cash flow generation, we believe this is a worthwhile conservative move to help fund the upcoming sales and marketing investments for aclidinium and linaclotide. The dilution has been minimal, less than 3%, and here in updated capital composition. Total outstanding shares are slightly up to 170.5 million, and the free float is around 28%. I'm glad to comment the financial results of the half year. Results were in line with our targets and guidance. Today, we are pleased to confirm the 2012 guidance, if no significant additional austerity measures are implemented. Despite the challenging environment, half-year sales were in line with yearly guidance, in part due to an increasing expansion of our international business, which has also contributed to sustain our gross margins. Important to highlight that international sales now account 57% of total versus 48% in the first half of 2011. The company has achieved a positive net cash position of nearly 5 million euros, which provides both comfort in the fundamentals and a strategic flexibility looking forward. And obviously, the income milestones from Forest and Meralini recently announced will strengthen our cash and P&L position as of Q3. Both were already included in our guidance. Free cash flow remains in good shape. All in all, we are facing the short and mid-term agenda without financial constraints. Moving now to the P&L highlights. Sales erosion is in line with our guidance for 2012, mainly due to Spanish reforms and generic competition. Gross margin has been maintained in a challenging environment thanks to the international expansion. R&D is temporarily up due to a phasing effect of ongoing studies. We expect for 2012 a similar expense in absolute terms than in 2011. As predicted, sales and G&A continue increasing versus last year, around 4%, due to the commercial investments, and we expect that this percentage increase could be higher in the next quarters. Despite this, I would like to remark our organic sales and G&A continues to decline, but that the overall expense is higher due to the necessary deployment of commercial resources for Aclidinium and Linaclotide. We confirm that the positive tax effect of the quarter will be sustained until the end of the year and will contribute to protect our bottom line. As an R&D-driven company, we have substantial potential in our balance sheet in form of tax credits. Normalized net income is, as we expected, temporarily below guidance due to milestone income on product approvals. A short comment on our balance sheet. It consistently remains very solid with a positive cash position. As expected, inventories have improved due to the normalization of stock following the manufacturing concentration project. And account receivables are temporarily up due to greater sales from our partners. We expect to normalize this increase in the next quarters, despite we should highlight there are not meaningful overdues. As of June 13th, equity represented more than 64% of total assets. Moving on to cash flow, we maintain solid cash flow generation despite a substantially lower profit before taxes. As commented in Q1, the main key driver beyond the other adjustments versus the first half of 2011 is the $45 million payment from Menarini. Investing activities have been higher than the same period of last year, but all things considered, free cash flow remains in healthy levels. Important to mention the debt repayment done over the period of nearly 120 million euros, including 60 million in Q2. Please bear in mind that our current calendar of financial debts phases out at the end of 2012. So, wrapping up, results in line with expectations, solid financial fundamentals, and a steady cash flow generation. And again, 2012 guidance reiterated. Thank you. I now hand over to Bertu.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everyone. From a pipeline and regulatory perspective, as advanced by Eduardo, one of our key filings for 2012, Aclidinium monotherapy, has been successfully approved, both in the US and Europe. The first time the FDA respiratory division approves an inhaled product within the timelines of one cycle review, and this is remarkable. Additional, the development of our combination of Aclidinium plus Formoterol is on track, and we expect to announce phase 3 top-line results during 2013. We have discontinued one of our dermatology projects, LAS41007, on non-melanoma skin cancer due to modest efficacy in its phase 3 results. Finally, regarding our second filing of the year, I should say that we're also progressing well with the regulatory pathway of linaclotide in Europe, where the 180-day period has been completed and the CHMP voting should be in the near term. This is a snapshot of the current pipeline status. After Aclidinium's approval in the EU and the US, there are two more projects led by linaclotide in approval phase, and we expect feedback during 2012. Our Aclidinium plus Formoterol combo and Sativex in oncological pain continue in phase 3, and they are also followed by three projects in phase 2. The key takeaway from our pipeline is the breadth of our respiratory portfolio and an emerging dermatology portfolio. Thank you all. Now over to Luciano.
Thank you, Bertil. Good morning, everyone.
Let me start my participation by stating that we have now successfully partnered Aclidinium bromide with major players in the main three territories for respiratory pathologies. In the USA with Forest Labs, in Japan with Kyorin, and in Europe and some further territories with Menarini and its affiliate company Berlin Chemie. We have also partnered the product in Korea with Daewon, and we are continuing the discussions in further territories to complete the worldwide coverage for our product. In the meantime, we are covering above 80% of the market potential with companies that have top-class presence in the respiratory market segment, primary and secondary care capabilities, and just as important, they have extended experience in market access and internal capabilities to tackle the demands that our customers are asking to new products. Also in the US, the biggest respiratory market in the world, we will remain as the only alternative LAMA for some time, as we do not expect the approval of a third LAMA there in the short time. I will go into more detail in the partnership of Eclira Breptaris in Europe. As we announced last March, we have granted marketing rights to Menarini for a second brand of Aclidinium bromide, namely Breptaris, and its phase 3 combination with formoterol. We have different partnership models depending on the territories. Menarini and its subsidiary Berlin Chemie have joint commercialization rights across the vast majority of the member states of the European Union, as well as Russia, CIS, and Turkey. As you may know, Menarini is one of the top companies in all those territories with an excellent track record in partnership and commercial success. We have also signed agreements with Quintiles in the UK and Germany. These arrangements allow us to deploy proper resources behind our products, keeping flexibility to adjust to changes in the environment. We retain sole marketing rights for the product in the Netherlands, the Nordic countries, and Switzerland. The partnership signed fulfill our criteria as defined and mentioned to you in the past. Proven track record in partnerships, a strong primary care capabilities, territorial complementarity, and last but not least, no competing portfolio assets in their pipeline. We continue to prepare the launch of our key platforms for growth, Aclidinium bromide and linaclotide. We reiterate the guidance from the past and still see the combined potential of product sales to exceed the 1 billion euros mark. We are tackling the opportunity by deploying the market access strategy and expanding our capabilities in the early launch countries. We are linking it to the progression in the regulatory milestones, which de-risk the building up of the organization. We are present in the major respiratory events across Europe and heavily involved in preparing the launch, training our organizations, and fine-tuning the strategy and tactics. In this quarter, we have initiated the actions to set up a new affiliate in Canada. Canada is one of the top respiratory markets in the world and has been part of our strategy for some time. Now the time to start operations there has arrived. As we are starting a new product cycle, we also see the effect of the 6 products we launched in the last couple of years. They are helping us to rejuvenate our portfolio, contributing to increase our top line. In the comparative period, they have grown 43.9% versus last year. At the same time, the Derma franchise continued to grow a nice 8.5%. If we put them all together, the combination of the Derma franchise and the new product launches represent 26% of our turnover in the first half of 2012, and they are growing at a very nice combined total of 18%. I would like to remind you that the income from co-promotion deals, Combrisa, Libertech, and Escitalopram are reflected in the other income line following IFRS accounting guidance and therefore are not reflected in our top line. Moving to Sativex, the medicine is now available in Spain, Germany, and Denmark. The most significant milestone was the reception of the positive GBA recommendation in Germany. The German authorities recognize the added value of Sativex over and above all currently available antispasticity treatments. Further to that, we continue to show positive progress in Spain, where most of the key hospitals have already included the product in the formulary, and in Germany, where the product is showing very positive evolution. We are awaiting pricing and reimbursement decisions in Sweden, Italy, Austria, and Czech Republic, and we expect to launch the product in several of these countries in the second half of this year. We recently announced the approval of the product in 10 additional European countries, which will allow the product to become a real pan-European option for clinicians dealing with multiple sclerosis. We will present further clinical evidence regarding response rates at ECTRIMS in October. So our confidence in the product leads us to expand our rights to include Mexico in our current agreement with GW. And with this, I will hand over to Eduardo for key takeaways. Okay, thanks a lot, Luciano. So let me now summarize the news flow that we expect in the coming months. We expect to have first launches for actinium bromide in Q4, with also an important rollout in other countries during 2013. We are maintaining partnering discussions for actinium bromide in other geographies and also expect to make some announcements before the end of the year. We feel prudently optimistic towards obtaining CHMP voting during 2012 for Constella, and we will continue the rollout of Sativex and Toctino in new geographies. So altogether, a series of very positive news that reinforce our international growth strategy and the potential to transform our company in the midterm. So with that, Jordi, back to you for Q&A.
Thank you all very well. Operator, back to you for Q&A, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Edward Dulac from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. Just three questions, please. Firstly, on SG&A, it was flat in the second quarter. I was getting the sense that overall SG&A expense for 2012 would show probably growth of at least 10% versus 2011. If this was ever true, I'm just curious if it still applies, or does the roughly $92 million in SG&A expense that you had in each of the first two quarters serve as a reasonable run rate? Secondly, how should we think about the commercial uptake for Eclira in Europe? Specifically, I'm looking if you could help us understand how you will approach the reimbursement discussions with EU payers. I understand that's increasingly more difficult in today's environment. And if you could help us give us a sense of the timing of when you expect to have the majority of the reimbursement discussions concluded in Europe. And then just lastly, in 2Q, you guys discontinued the LABA collaboration with Forest, and there were some significant milestones remaining on this agreement, which were expected, I believe, to be amortized through 2015. I guess an argument could be made that those milestones could be recognized now in an accelerated format. And I'm just curious if you have any guidance on these milestones and how they'll be handled with respect to the former LABA program with Forest. Thanks.
Hi, Edward. This is Daniel Martinez. Regarding the sales and G&A, as we were anticipating, our organic sales and G&A is declining again year by year, as we did in the past. But as we mentioned, we are now heavily investing on the preparing the launches of Eclira and Linaclotide. So the trend that you may expect for the rest of the year is that most probably our global sales and G&A in 2012, in comparison with 2011, will increase in a highest double-digit growth in comparison with 2011.
Okay, this is Luciano. Regarding the reimbursement discussions concluded in the European Union, let me first start that we state that we have already started the reimbursement processes in certain countries where you can. So, for instance, we have submitted the dossier for appraisal to the Scottish Medicine Agency, and we have also asked for early assessment with the GBA. So we are working as we speak. Also, as you are probably aware, you cannot submit in some countries the dossier for the core value dossier until you have not got the local approval. So we expect this to happen, let's say, in the next months, depending on the country, because as you are probably aware, some countries require very few months, while others require 6 or more months. So in general, we would expect that the regulatory path and the pricing and reimbursement path in the different countries should be completed by the end of 2013.
Okay, regarding the LABA upfront that we have booked in our balance sheet, obviously we were depreciating this following IFRS, and therefore we need to, during the rest of the year, we need to consider together with our auditors how we will be booked this amortization. So as we have much more information during the year, we will disclose.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Joe German from Citi. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. It's Joe German from Citi. A few, if I can. Outside Spain, your sales in Europe and the Middle East were down around 9% in the second quarter. Is there anything sort of specific outside Spain that you're seeing in Europe that led to that, or was that an expected sort of result? Secondly, on timing of Acadium launch in Europe. I think you mentioned fourth quarter, the first launches. I'm just curious as to why you perhaps wouldn't try and get a launch in the UK and Germany a little bit sooner than that. And just thirdly, on the recognition of sales outside, just to be clear on what you were saying before, you'll be booking Eclira sales and royalties. Will the royalties on the Brattea sales for Menarini, will those be booked in your other income line, or are you actually going to put those in your revenue line?
Okay, let me clarify that what I said was not that we will not launch in other countries before the end of 2013. Why I said is that what we expect is to have completed all European pricing and reimbursement appraisals by the end of 2013. Obviously, we will be launching in the countries as early as we can, you know, taking into consideration the particular pricing and reimbursement conditions country by country. But we are applying to all the countries, and we are prepared and ready to apply in all the countries as soon as we have the local regulatory approval that triggers the possibility to present the dossier. So we will expect in this year, obviously, to launch the UK, Germany, some Nordic countries, and probably in the US as well as we go. But obviously, this also depends on certain conditions that have to be met.
Just to check on UK and Germany, though, I think you mentioned fourth quarter. Is that correct? So not over the summer.
We hope so. Yes.
So it could be earlier. We are taking a cautious view, and we are saying that definitely we will launch before the end of the year. I mean, it could be Q4, taking a more optimistic view, it could be a bit earlier, but we are just trying to set expectations in a reasonable manner.
Okay.
Regarding the second quarter sales that you mentioned, you have to be aware of two particular elements that have some incidence in our turnover this year. First of all, the pollinic season has been particularly low across Europe because of the poor weather conditions. You know, the weather has been quite bad in the central and northern European region, and this means that obviously the pollinization of the plants has been quite low, which is good for the patients, but it's unfortunately not good for our sales. And also because of the particular conditions of the Spain and the delisting that the authorities announced and has been implemented, you know, in June, what happened is because the situation was uncertain until the real last moment, until the last public order was published, the wholesalers and the pharmacies have had quite a caution approach towards the stock of products that they may have the products that were at risk of being delisted, which means that significant products for us have not been selling what we would have anticipated during the normal period of time.
Regarding the booking of sales, you are right, Joe, so any royalty associated to the sales will be booked as other income, as we are doing also with milestones, etc.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Peter Welford from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Oh, hello. A couple of questions left. Firstly, just on the Toctino deal, I just wondered whether you've had any contact yet with Stiefel following the change in control and whether or not that has any impact at all on your collaboration. Secondly, then, just with regards to the guidance, you said that I believe both of the milestones from both Forest and Menarini were included in your outlook, which I think was for a lower decline in net income this year versus last, compared to last year, if that makes sense. But can I also just clarify that was the milestones both included as well when you made the comment that 2013 will have a lag effect on profitability and then 2014 will see profit growth? Were the milestones also included in that longer-term outlook? Thank you.
So regarding the Toctino deal, we have, as you know, the Toctino deal has been completed last week between Stiefel and Basilea. We have a contract which has eventuality is covered, so for us there should not be any difference regarding the behavior and the fulfillment of our agreement with for Toctino, I would say now.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, you're right. So when we were raising the guidance for 2012 and 2013, we were already considering the impact on those milestones in both years. So, yes, they were included.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Ricardo Lowy from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Hello. In fact, it's Joe Walton of Credit Suisse. Can you tell us a little bit about the tax going forwards? You've got a massive tax credit in the first half of this year. Will you pay tax on the milestones that you get in? And how long could it be sustained that you effectively get a tax credit from the Spanish government, given the enormous financial pressures that the Spanish system must be in? I wonder if you could also talk a little bit more about what you think might happen in terms of potential other healthcare reform issues. Clearly, one of the things that international investors are concerned about is your continued reliance on the Spanish market. Could you also give us a little bit of a help on how much money building a Canadian affiliate will take? Presumably, or are you going to take a partner with you to help launch in Canada, or what would it take to be the sole supplier in Canada in terms of sales reps, etc.? And finally, could you just give us some help on when in 2013 we're likely to see the readout of the combination product? I think in the past you said the first half of 13. It just says 2013 now. I want to be clear whether that's a first half or second half event.
Hi, Joe. Regarding tax, well, obviously, in this Q1, the positive tax effect has been quite significant in the first half of the year. We're looking forward on the full year effect. Obviously, we can consider that we still have a positive tax effect, not so big as like if this was in half year. But yes, the trend will continue, and we will have a positive tax effect. We will not be paying taxes on 2012. First. Second, about the milestones, yes, when we are considering the guidance and when we are calculating the profit before tax that should be taxable, of course, all those milestones were already included, and therefore they are properly taxed following the Spanish regulations. And about how long these tax deductions can take, I will hand over to Eduardo.
I can understand the concerns looking at this from outside Spain about the risk that this tax credit may take and for how long they may stay. Yet, I think there has been a significant amount of discussion between the pharmaceutical association and the government. I think the government is very much conscious that they will need to somehow still put priority on R&D in the country overall as a way to eventually generate growth in the economy and deal with the significant unemployment that is taking place in this country. I think that we have made a very strong case for the good opportunities created by the pharmaceutical industries, by companies like Almirall. We are now in a situation where we can generate a significant amount of exports for the country. And I think that after all the four royal decrees and the significant impact that has created in this market in Spain that is now in decline for 3 years in a row, I think that any further actions, we are not counting on those, at least not in terms of the tax credit. So for the time being, we think that we can still maintain those. You were commenting about reliance on the Spanish market. Actually, that is not exactly the case, and I have been trying to stress during my comments that we see a continuous growth internationally and that we expect in about 3-4 years to have already at least 70% of our total sales coming from outside Spain. So we are pushing hard on the internationalization. We are at the same time giving ourselves some flexibility in the way we operate by partnering with companies, etc. But clearly I think that our goal is to have a much higher percentage of total sales coming from outside Spain. Now, when it comes to Canada, indeed, we are looking at ways for Canada or for any other new affiliate that we may consider to find ways to lower the entry cost in a particular country through partnerships or through ways that may indeed reduce the financial burden of getting set up in a given country. And for that, again, more information will be coming, hopefully in the not distant future. But this is a concern that we are applying definitively for Canada. And when it comes to the aclidinium bromide combination phase 3 readout, let me perhaps pass the microphone to
Thank you. Well, Joe, the studies are running very well with the combination in the combination program, but we are just giving the notion that we will report them during 2013, and we're not giving any more detail than that, but it's going very well.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the hash key. Your next question comes from Eleanor Fung from Goldman Sachs. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Eleanor Fung from Goldman Sachs. One question remaining, please. Could you provide some color on how you're thinking about the development plans for your once-daily LABA, in particular, how partnering discussions for the Phase 2B development are going, and when we might be able to expect an update, please? Thank you.
Yes, Eduardo here, Eleanor. So let me comment perhaps on that. So, I mean, following the basically the situation in the U.S., we have indicated that we are at this point considering particularly outside the U.S. development. I think the U.S. market has become a concern for many companies, keeping in mind the rising costs for development in this family of products, keeping in mind the concerns on the part of the FDA. At the same time, also because of the way the FDA is acting, there are concerns about how that may be affecting the competitiveness of new products being approved in that market. So altogether, we are having discussions right now with several parties that may be interested in an OUS development. And at this point, I think it's a bit premature to indicate how they may end up. But definitely, I think that we are giving high priority to those discussions. We are still very optimistic about the strength of this particular molecule. It has shown so far to be a very potent bronchodilator. So, again, we are just moving forward into confidential discussions with a number of companies. And we will keep basically the market updated as we progress, but it's too early to comment.
Your next question comes from Joe German from Citi. Please ask your question.
Hi, it's Joe again. I just had one follow-up if I can. Daniel, could you just run through the milestones that you've received so far? That's the two from Menarini and the one from Forest on Acadinium, and how what amortization period is associated with those milestones, i.e. how should we recognize them through the P&L, please?
Hi, Joe. These milestones are not amortized. They're fully booked as other income during Q3 because as these are related to the signature, to the certain approvals, it automatically recognized as other income. So fully recognition in 2012.
And for the signing milestone?
Sorry?
And the signing milestone as well from Menarini?
The signing milestone?
Yeah.
This is in 2012.
Okay, fine.
Your next question comes from Anna Gonzalez from Bankia Bolsa. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I was especially concerned regarding the other income development performance in this first half of the year. I believe that Roflumilast, that either Xarelto are not still posting revenues or income in this first half of the year. When should we expect a ramp up from these two products to become reality in 2012 in third quarter, or should we still wait until fourth quarter for both of them? Thank you.
The milestone that we were now recognizing in Q3, this will be booked as other income, fully booked, and therefore impacting the P&L during Q3. The upfront regarding the signatures, normally these are recognized to the time, in this case, formerly in 2012 and 2013.
But the upfront that was received from Menarini at the time of signing the agreement, that is capitalized and depreciated over a period of time?
2 years. 2 years, 2012 and 2013. Yeah. It's clear.
Your next question comes from Ricardo Louis from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
It's Joe again. I would like you just to set out for us what you think the total rep force will be between yourselves and Menarini in Europe, and how you consider that stacks up against the major respiratory players today of, let's say, Glaxo and Boehringer Ingelheim. Just so we can get a sense of the firepower in aggregate you think you can put behind Acladinium and the combination product when it arrives relative to peers.
Hi, Joe. Obviously, we have not disclosed exactly the amount of people that we're going to put behind the products because it would be to disclosing competitive information that we do not intend to do. Neither can we disclose what the effort of Forest can be is going to put on the table when the product is launched. However, what I can give you is comfort in the sense that we are going to be competitive in all the markets between Menarini and ourselves and Forest in the U.S. So we will aim to have a significant share of voice, which would make us competitive with the current companies in this market.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star 1 to ask a question. Your next question comes from Ana Gonzalez from Bankia Bolsa. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my question. I was a little bit concerned on the performance for other income for this first half of the year. I know that your 9 months that will be reported next time will be quite strong due to the milestones that you just received, the down payments for Platinum Bromide. But I just wanted to have a more hint from your side regarding the Roflumilast and especially the Xarelto performance that you're expecting for the next quarters.
Well, Anna, so as you said, the evolution of operating income obviously will change throughout the year. But obviously, as you know, we are never disclosing any income or cost regarding any specific product. So this is where we are not giving much more information about Roflumilast or any other products.
But are they supposed to contribute strongly on fourth quarter, or should we expect some income already, some input in third quarter?
They are included in our guidance, so you will not see any major difference in comparison with our guidance.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key.
Very well, no further questions. Thank you all for your participation today and for your interest in Almirall, and have a good day. Bye now.